strategic differences with the board. This is said to be the driving force behind Daniel Minnelli's decision to step down as CEO of Absa Bank. The former Deputy Reserve Bank Governor inherited a bank going through a divorce from Barclays Bank. And to make things a little bit more tricky, COVID hit shortly after he took to office last year. We did reach out to Absa for comment, but like everybody else, we were referred to a statement confirming the decision that's been made. But those in the know said that this has been brewing for some time, and Business Day's Warren Thompson sits in that camp. He joins us now with more insight. Thanks so much, Warren, for your time this evening. So less than 16 months into the job, and we have an exiting CEO at Absa citing differences with executives over, the company's strategic direction. Was this a ticking time bomb from the start, or more so a recent unraveling?
Thanks, Lisa. Yes, I don't know if the ticking time bomb might be a bit strong, but certainly it was a question that was raised given the state of the organization that he inherited in January last year. As you pointed out, there was a major restructuring in 2018 that followed the separation, the formal separation from Barclays. And in that project, Maria Ramos, who was the CEO at the time, undertook a brand refresh and a major organizational restructuring. And they had strategic goals. As you well know, Alicia, Absa had fallen behind in market share in a number of its key markets, including lending, and that was one of the strategic goals. And the whole strategy had been combined and endorsed by the board. So the question was, how much was Daniel Minnelli going to be able to change things if he came in and saw fit to do so?
Yeah. And Warren, was there any line of sight in terms of changes he was looking to make to the bank strategy?
No, very difficult to tell at this stage, Alicia. Obviously, he described that period managing through the pandemic, which arrived just weeks after his appointment, as flying by the seat of his pants. So it took them a little while to adjust to the pandemic and I guess some of the new ways of working, but we certainly didn't get a clear sense yet of what direction he wanted to take that seemed to differ so strongly from the board and his executive committee.
Yeah. Warren, I've got to ask, how worrying is it that you've got a statement come through from an exiting CEO saying that it's not just about strategy, but about cultural differences too, and what that potentially spells for the transformation agenda in SA Inc.?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. That statement that just came through referred to the strategy and differences in culture. We really need to kind of try and elaborate on it. But certainly from the transformation point of view, I mean, I know, for instance, that ABSIP are going to be meeting with the board led by Wendy Lucas-Bull to try and understand why this transition went so horribly wrong. Because, in the space of a couple of weeks, we've had two black CEOs leaving the helms of banks. And the question has to be posed, is it a cultural difference between them and the people that are overseeing their work as chief executives?
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Warren, for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Business Day's Warren Thompson. Well, with all the changes at Absa, from the Barclays separation to shifts in leadership, let's assess the impact on Absa as a business now. And Kokkie Kooyman, who's banking analyst at Denker Capital, joins us with his assessment of where things are at. Kokkie, thanks so much for your time this evening. So how rattled is the market by this announcement? And of course, this is just 6 weeks after losing its former deputy CEO, Peter McClary, who, of course, succumbed to COVID-19.
Yeah, no, you can see the market was not expecting this, not that it should have. It was, I don't know where it's right now, but it was down 5% in a market that is falling. So generally banks are down 1.5%, 2%, but still 5%, and it has already been weak post the money market issue. So not a good sign, but generally when there's uncertainty like this, then the market will first stand back.
Absolutely. We had Warren highlight how much of Absa's current strategy was crafted under Maria Ramos back in 2017. Flash forward to 2021, this landscape, the banking arena, has shifted quite considerably, Kokkie. Does the Absa strategy need a rejig, need to be giving leadership more leeway to steer things potentially a little bit more differently?
Yeah, the difference as cited in terms of strategy is a bit surprising, although COVID has changed a lot of things. But the bank is very strong. Under Maria, it did lose a lot of market share, but obviously that was the time of the separation from Barclays as well. And the current team, the executive team, had done a lot of work in terms of analyzing what went wrong, where they were, and had been turning around the bank and had actually been gaining market share. Even during COVID, gaining market share, a lot of the initiatives started bearing fruit. So it is weaker than the other banks on a lot of ratios, like the cost to income ratio and the bad debt ratio. But its capital ratio is fair, it is strong. So, and the strategy that the team had started on was being followed and was working. So it's a bit surprising to hear that there was a difference on strategy, except if it might come to, the issue of the asset management division. The fact that his resignation follows so close on the announcement about the money market fund almost makes one think a bit that it also had to do with it in terms of that he maybe wanted a different direction on the retail bank side.
Yeah, well, the detail has been scant, aside from the statement that has been released by APSA this afternoon. Kokkie, what do you as an investor read into a situation like this? Where it's not just APSA. We had not so long ago African Bank also losing its CEO due to boardroom clashes.
Yeah, the African Bank one was slightly different, but you are right. You had a CEO there that was very strong, was actually doing a great job. And here you had an executive team that was doing a great job and a CEO almost being parachuted in onto them. So as an investor, you're always worried. You have to be, that this can't be resolved. It couldn't be resolved. So obviously there are two schools of opinion. In fact, one of the statements actually releases two differences with some executives. So it almost seems as if the executive team is a bit divided as well on terms of how important the difference was. So he initially stand back. His point about transformation or lack of transformation in its strategy and culture is also a bit worrying. I'm sure the executive team and the chairperson, Wendy Lucas-Bull, also actually had thought about that in appointing him and in terms of the 3-5 year strategy. So, that does worry a bit as well. So as an investor, you'll first stand back. You'll first say, okay, maybe it's wiser to see what comes out in the next few weeks. It's not as if APSA is significantly cheaper than the other banks. Nedbank is actually still a bit cheaper on a price to NAV. So, if APSA was very cheap, you'd say, I don't want to sell this now. But, I think a lot of investors chose to rather sell a bit of APSA and buy some of the other banks, potentially.
Well, let's leave it there. Kokkie, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Kokkie Kooiman is banking analyst at Denker Capital.